Welcome to the Hateful Hitman Podcast. Brought to you by Hitman Fantasy Productions. Premier football coverage from college to NFL to fantasy and everything in between. And now, in the Hitman's Hideout, here's your host, Chris Strasbaugh.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Hateful Hitman Podcast. Wednesday night, October the 14th. It was a crazy week in the NFL. We had to wait an extra day for the NFL week to, you know, officially come to a close. Nail biters all around for me as far as down to less than a point in a game in the Devy League to get the win, and I'm still not 100% certain that a stat correction might not take that away from me. We just don't know. Crazy week. We got some NFL news to talk about, but we're going to talk about the first ever Hitman State of the NFL. We got 5 weeks in the books. Okay, it's about a quarter of the way through the NFL season, and we've got, you know, we're about a third of the way through our fantasy year, so going to just break down these divisions and these teams and talk a little bit about the goods and the bads and what I've called the Hitman State of the NFL. But first, let's talk some breaking news.
Here's what we know.
Here at the Hateful Hitman Podcast, I cover everything. I cover all walks of football from Devy to, you know, college fantasy, which we're not having this year. College football and everything. So it's important when some news comes out in the college, even though I'm not really focusing on the college portion this evening, that we talk about it a little bit. Nick Saban, head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, has tested positive. Now, I've already seen some stuff on Twitter and some stuff on social media that said, say goodbye to college football. I don't understand why, since Nick Saban has tested positive, that the college football landscape is coming to an end. That don't make any sense to me whatsoever. Okay, just because the king of college football has the coronavirus, I just don't see where these people think we're going to cancel the college season. It doesn't make any sense to me. Mike Norvell got it, and he didn't cancel because of Mike Norvell. And there's been some other players and personnel in higher ranking, you know, spots that have tested positive for coronavirus and they haven't shut down. So I'm not jumping to conclusions yet, and these people that are trying to get the stir up on social media, that's a little aggravating, you know. Now, there has been a game postponement, and it is in the beloved, precious SEC. The LSU Tigers and the Florida Gators game has been postponed due to a huge outbreak within the Florida Gators football program. College is a bit different than the NFL. They did set aside a portion of the season at the end of the year for these teams to maybe make this game up. And this is a big game in the SEC. You know, LSU's fallen on hard times. You know, they lost their whole entire team last year. They've completely fallen out of the rankings. Needed a game to, you know, the big high-profile game. The Gators, you know, coming off a loss to A&M, both of these teams were going to be searching for a win. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that this game gets rescheduled, you know, at the back end, you know, of the season. So I'm not panicking about any of that yet. But there was a huge spike at the University of Florida. And so the game between LSU and Florida this week has been postponed. That's very relevant, you know, in the college world. So I wanted to touch on it as I first took off, and then we're going to get into a couple more news and notes that's happened, and we're going to shift the scene to the NFL here. But, you know, it's important that you pay attention, keep track of what's going on in college because, it could filter its way through. So I wanted to touch on that real quick as we got started. So now, To the NFL news and notes portion, by now you've probably all heard Le'Veon Bell is no longer with the New York Jets. Reports came out on Sleeper a couple of days ago when they was looking to trade Le'Veon Bell. And I made a post on one of the on the Hateful Hitman Facebook group that since they couldn't find a suitor to trade for him, they just give him his outright release. Now that is frightening. I've seen some people on our Facebook community, our fantasy enthusiasts, that are excited to see his landing spot. Myself, on the other hand, I'm a little apprehensive, because depending on where he goes, you know, he may take away from somebody who's fantasy relevant right now. Now there's some speculation, Bears, Niners. If it's the Niners, it really muddies up the water there, you know, that's already murky. But I wouldn't put it past Kyle Shanahan to bring him into San Francisco, you know, just to put him in the mix to keep his guys fresh and keep them rotated, you know, especially with the injuries at the running back position and with the COVID scares and all this and all that. The likelier landing spot to me would be Chicago, because they lost Tariq Cohen. David Montgomery is not what we was hoping that he would be coming out of, you know, Iowa State as a rookie last year. He's just not. I mean, he's okay if he scores a touchdown, it really saves your fantasy day, but he's not doing a whole lot that just blows your socks off. So I could definitely see, you know, Le'Veon Bell, who is an excellent pass catcher as well, coming in and going to Chicago and filling that role of Tariq Cohen and being better. But now I got to admit, I haven't watched a whole lot of Jets football because they are just terrible to watch. But I did manage to skip over a few times last Sunday and watch Le'Veon Bell play. And maybe it's the system, you know, people rag on Adam Gase and they say you get away from Adam Gase and you turn into a fantastic player. And there's some truth to that. But I don't know if maybe Le'Veon Bell is just, he's just done. I mean, he may be to the point where it's, okay, he's not ever going to be what he used to be, obviously. So he's not going to be, you know, a big-time fantasy scorer, in my opinion. But he could be that guy that comes in and muddies up the water for one of the other guys that you're putting a lot of faith in. So I see a lot of people who are excited about this, but I also see myself as I don't want him to land somewhere where it's going to make it, you know, trickier to play these guys. You've already got a liability at running back, but he's a starting running back with David Montgomery, and you're like, okay, I can play him because I know he's going to get the work. At least he's getting the work. You bring in Lev Bell, he's not going to get as much. So now that's my little role right there on Le'Veon Bell. I am curious. I even put this on the Facebook post. I am curious to see where he goes, to see form, because, you know, if he's not done and he does have some gas left in the tank, he would be, you know. But it also is it's going to take away from somebody, no matter. Last bit of news I want to talk about this evening, and then we'll get into the state of the NFL. Is Dak Prescott, okay? The injury he suffered Sunday. You know, this is the first podcast and the first, you know, bit of talking about it. I've done it, you know, over the air and things like that. But I've got to say, and I'm going to say this for everybody to hear it, that, you know, up until week 5 of the NFL season, I was completely wrong about Dak Prescott. Okay? I had spent the majority of the past couple of seasons saying that the Cowboys could do better. He wasn't the quarterback of the future. He wasn't the quarterback that they needed. They could do better. And I may have been mistaken. If you watch that game, and I did, the play he got hurt on, he scrambled to the left. Actually, it was a designed quarterback run as far as I can tell. And he ran to the left, got 9 yards and got tackled, and as soon as he rolled over, you could just tell that it was bad. It was broke pretty bad, and he was in a bad way. Automatically, okay, whether you're a Cowboy fan or not, and I say this on my podcast all the time, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. Okay, these people have lives. They're individuals. It isn't just a fantasy thing, although it did put a big-time hit on a lot of leagues I have Dak Prescott in. But that's not what I'm talking about right now. It's, you know, he is... Okay, lost my train of thought there for a minute. Anyways, when he went down, the whole atmosphere in the whole stadium changed. It was a home game for Dallas. They were, you know, trying to get a win, you know, against a division rival. And when he went down, you know, not just your fantasy hopes went down, but this is a human being, a person who, you know, was playing for his future, playing for a contract and, you know, all the things that come with it. And, you know, I think the right thing to do if you're the Jones organization is to pay the man. There's no reason that says he won't be back next year. You pay the guy and you get him taken care of, because he was the heart and soul of that team. Okay, and you could see it. Okay, you could see it resonating as the five games, you know, progressed through this season. He knew the offense. He knew everything. And I'm not talking the numbers. I'm not talking, you know, the record-breaking yardage that he was just throwing all over the place, because the defense is so horrible that he had to carry the team. But I'm talking about the heart and soul of that team. Okay, and when he went down, it resonated throughout the whole entire NFL. Tweets coming in from all different players from different teams, different conferences, you know, and people, Patrick Mahomes, all these guys tweeting out, you know, Dak, you know, prayers with Dak. When somebody like that goes down, it definitely makes a noise. And we're going to get to a little bit when we talk about the state of the NFL, but Dak getting hurt was more than just a loss for your fantasy teams. And I was wrong about Dak. You know, there's always going to be throws that he just makes that I'm like, man, if he could just adjust that throw, that's a touchdown. And he may get that as he gets older, but he is very young. As I was informed, you know, by a guy who's a fellow Cowboy fan, Dak's young. He's learning. He's going to get better, and he's right. And, you know, I was hard on Dak for the longest time, and, you know, I have to say I was wrong, because this season he was the heartbeat of that team, and they are going to miss him. Luckily, they brought in Andy Dalton. I'll talk about him in a little bit, but Dak getting hurt was rough for the entire, you know, NFL community and us as fans and football fans everywhere. Okay, on to the show for this evening, Hitman's first ever Hitman State of the NFL. We will start in the NFC least, and we'll go through these teams, you know, and the higher relevance they get. I may touch on them a little bit more as we go, but, you know, we'll start at the top. Dallas, with that win last week against the Giants, you know, puts them at 2-3 in the division, in the lead in the division, with a 2-3 record. We've seen this before over the past few years. There's a possibility at the end of these seasons, you know, and it's happened over the past, you know, handful of years, that it's possible that the team who wins this division has a below 500 record, and it snubs somebody in a different division because they have a better record, but, you know, somebody has to win the division. So it's terrible, and, you know, hopefully Andy Dalton can, you know, stay the course. And, you know, he's got a lot of big game experience. He's got a lot of experience in the NFL, and it's not like he's a rookie coming off the bench to take over for Dak. They brought him in for this reason. So, I mean, at least they have something left, and he's surrounded by a huge group of weapons at the offensive side of the ball. The defense is just terrible, so he's going to have to throw, you know, and maybe he keeps them righted, and they can at least, you know, fight their way through for an NFC East title. We'll just have to see. They're going to see a little bit more Zeke, you know, and a little bit more run game, and, you know, I think that's to be expected. The Philadelphia Eagles are a team that's probably the most surprising to me out of this whole entire division. 1-3-1 with a tie with the Bengals. Carson Wentz doesn't look like Carson Wentz. Now, it's the same song but a different verse. He's just depleted at the wide receiver position. Miles Sanders is giving good effort. I wouldn't say great effort. It's enough to keep the running game, relevant. But Carson Wentz has to play better. And he's throwing interceptions, and I know he's got, turds to throw the ball to that are not high-level talent, but you're in this league for a reason. You're an NFL player for a reason. These guys have to help him out, and he has to help them. The Washington football team, 1-4, quarterback carousel. I read a note on Sleeper that they are now trying to actually trade Haskins. They want him out. They want him off the team. So the comment that Riverboat Ron said about not giving up on Haskins was probably complete crap. That was coach speak. They're looking to move on from him. And so if that were to happen, you're looking at Kyle Allen going forward, as long as he's healthy, being the quarterback, because a lot of rust, and Alex Smith. The New York Giants, 0-5, and they had the Cowboys on the ropes, and they could have got a win right there, and it would have been huge for their team. But now they are a team that's just trying to get a win, to try to stay relevant in the division. Because look, they're only two games out of first place in the NFC East with an 0-5 record. This division is just horrible. On to the NFC South. Maybe Drew Brees is going down. Maybe Drew Brees is this is his swan song. But when you are using Taysom Hill, in positions where your future Hall of Famer should be used, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say that maybe the writing's on the wall, and you're maybe as a coach you're losing a little bit of faith, in your Hall of Fame, quarterback. I don't know. I'm not in the organization, but it just would seem like when the game's on the line, you don't put in your gadget quarterback. You use the guy who's got you a Super Bowl ring. I don't know. That's just my personal thoughts on it. Alvin Kamara still doing good. He's like the main attraction there now. With Michael Thomas being hurt, and he was out. He was benched last game for punching a teammate, which is uncharacteristic like of Michael Thomas, but that must have really got him fired up. But, so now, if Breeze is on the down and Michael Thomas is hurt, the main attraction there is Alvin Kamara, and he's as good as advertised. He's back this year playing at a high level. You got to love what he's doing for the Saints and for your fantasy teams. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 3-2. Carolina's 3-2 as well, and both of these teams are pleasant surprises. The one that's surprising to me the most in this division is the Falcons with the 0-5 record, and probably should be like 4-1. But the 0-5 start led to the dismissal of Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff, both of the higher ups there for the Falcons organization. They decided to move on. To me, it stinks because the Falcons have been in all those games. Blue leads that they shouldn't have blown, and other than the Green Bay game, probably should have been 4-1, and it saves those guys' jobs. It's crazy, how the Falcons are 0-5. It's just amazing to me that they're that far, and everybody else in the division got 3-game lead on them. It's crazy because the Panthers are playing well without Christian McCaffrey. And, Teddy Bridgewater's coming in, and he's using his running backs. He's using Mike Davis to fill in, and Robbie Anderson's been a huge, help to that team. And then you got DJ Moore as well. I had a little bit more hopes for Ian Thomas. That hasn't transpired. He's kind of let me down a good bit. But happy with the Carolina Panthers, man. They are in the right direction, and Teddy Bridgewater is playing inspired, confident football. And I like looking across there and seeing those guys at 3-2. I know a couple of Carolina Panther fans, and I'm sure they're happy as well. Tampa Bay. Tom Brady got off to a little bit of a rocky start. He's throwing some interceptions, taking time to get adjusted. You know, but I think maybe they found a running back in Ronald Jones with Fournette being hurt, you know. And it would be great if he could get Godwin healthy on a consistent basis. And Mike Evans is playing hurt. Let's just say for the sake of argument that Gronk's done, because he really is. And, you know, maybe Cameron Brait, who had a very good game with Tom Brady last game, you know, maybe he steps back up. And Jameis looked to Cameron Brait a lot. Maybe Tom can find something with Brait that he likes. And, you know, this offense is good. And that defense we've talked about, you know, every week, that defense is young, and they got some really good ball players. And I love Antoine Winfield and Devin White. Those guys are awesome players. It's a good-looking Tampa team. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how the three teams in this division are all 3-2. You know, how they, you know, compete against each other, you know, going through the rest of the season. Ah, the Wild Wild West. The NFC West, Seattle, 5-0. The Rams, 4-1. Arizona, 3-2. The surprise here, the current NFC defending champs, 2-3. Quarterback problems. Jimmy G came back a little early last week, and he got pulled, tried to come back too soon. And that's the big-time problem with these big-time positions, is if they come back too soon and they rush it, either they're hurting their team or they're hurting themselves. And in this time, it cost them a loss, and Miami just straight walloped them. Did not see that coming, but Miami just handled San Francisco because Jimmy G wasn't ready and 100% when he came back to play. But the talk of the division and the talk of the NFL is Russell Wilson right now. Probably, if you vote right now, he's the NFL MVP. He did have a down week, you know, in his standards, but he lit up in the second half. DK Metcalf is just taking over. He's probably the new number one on the team. He's big and strong and fast and just everything you want in a receiver, physical guy, and, you know, he's just an amazing athlete. And Russ getting him the ball is just amazing. If he was able to lock in any shares of Russell Wilson or those wide receivers there in Seattle, you're definitely having a good fantasy run so far. Los Angeles Rams 4-1. Surprisingly 4-1. I thought that these guys may be, you know, maybe in the third or fourth position right now. But surprisingly 4-1 and looking good and doing what they need to do to win games. Now, the running back situation there is as muddy and as murky as you'll have in the NFL. So not a whole lot of fantasy value to actually bank on there. Especially with Cam Akers coming back and having a decent showing in the second half last week. That three-headed monster seems to be healthy and rolling again. So, you know, but that's getting them wins. And as long as they're winning, it doesn't matter for fantasy what NFL teams are doing, because, you know, Sean McVay's 4-1, running out three running backs, he's going to keep doing that. So, Rams are off to a really good start. Arizona Cardinals 3-2. Kyler's kind of had a little bit of a dip over the past couple of weeks, but he's electric. He's fun to watch, and he is a whole different element to the NFL than we've seen for a long time. He can run. He's very fast. He's very accurate. He throws a good ball, and he's learning the game, you know, at a quicker pace, you know, than somebody who's coming in from an air raid, or from not an air raid offense, but an air it out style offense, you know, in Oklahoma. And, you know, he's learning how to do this and that. If we could get a consistent running game out of Kenyon Drake, which he seems to maybe be taking a back seat towards, you know, Chase Edmonds is kind of pushing his way up the depth chart a little bit. Arizona's a fun team to watch. They got weapons, D-hops out there, and, you know, that's a fun team. And they were my pick to win this division this year. They're in it 3-2, and they're still my pick. I'm not changing that. It'd be fun to see those guys going on. And Kyler Murray staying healthy and upright is the key to that team's success. The NFC North, last team we're going to talk about in the NFC, or the last conference, I mean, division, excuse me, I'll get it right, third time's a charm. As you look across this division, you look at the Green Bay Packers 4-0, that's not a shock. Okay, the Bears 4-1, not really a shock. Detroit 1-3, not really a shock either. The one that gets you is Minnesota. 1-4, But they're doing what they've been doing for the past couple of seasons. Going into last week, Dalvin Cook was the leading rusher in the NFL. He was having a fantastic game against Seattle the other night, and he tweaked something that I'm not even sure how to pronounce. They're doing what they want to do in running the ball, letting Cousins kind of let the game come to Cousins, but they just can't seem to get the wins that they need. I would have really thought that their record may have been a little flip-flopped right now. So them at 1-4 is definitely surprising to me. And I don't think Mike Zimmer's seat's getting hot yet. But they're going to need to turn this around, or maybe in the offseason, Minnesota starts thinking, okay, maybe Zimmer's, kind of fading out and we got to do something to shake this up. But, they've got the formula. Okay, Thielen catches everything. The dude's always open. Okay, they got a young, hungry wide receiver in Justin Jefferson who came in from LSU, a healthy Dalvin Cook, and even Alexander Mattison. Those guys both run the ball very well. So what is it? Is it the defense that's not doing its part? Is it another Dallas Cowboys situation? It looks like that may be part of it. So they got to get it turned around, and they need some wins quick. If they get a couple back-to-back wins, because you don't want the Bears and the Packers to get too far ahead of you, because you might not catch them. On to the AFC. The AFC North, we're going to start right there with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look, this is my pick to go to the Super Bowl. Okay, and so far, I'm looking pretty good. Okay, now I had them picked to play in Dallas, but we're not going to talk about that right now. Pittsburgh 4-0, and, this team looks good on both sides of the ball. They just had a breakout game from their rookie, Chase Claypool, and I don't care what college he went to because it doesn't even matter that he went to Notre Dame. I don't even want to talk about that right now. But breakout game from Claypool. These receivers, maybe Claypool's the new guy. Maybe he's the it. He's big, strong. He can run. He's so fast for his size. A mismatch nightmare. And if I don't think we're going to see what he's done, this past weekend on a reoccurring basis, but a stable wide receiver for Big Ben to throw the ball deep to, that doesn't sound bad at all. So, I'm not a big Juju guy, never have been. So, he maybe he comes up and takes his place. Not this year, maybe next year, maybe. But, they're running the ball well. Their defense is just all over the place. They're 4-0, looking good. But right behind them, okay, is probably the surprise of the NFL. And I'm not talking about Baltimore. Baltimore sets second in the standings. I'm going to talk about the Cleveland Browns. 4-1 Cleveland Browns. Kevin Stefanski. The world of difference in this team between this year and last year is Kevin Stefanski. He brought in his system from Minnesota. He's running the ball. He had a two-headed monster at running back that were probably both going to go for a grand this year. Okay, now Chubb got hurt. He got hurt out for, several weeks. And now Kareem Hunt's nicked up a little bit, playing hurt. But what they've done so far is taken the pressure off Baker Mayfield, focused on the running game, and then Baker's finding people down the field. Okay? I didn't think they'd beat Dallas, but they did. Didn't think they'd beat the Colts, but they did. And here they are, 4-1 for probably the first time in 100 million years. Right up there with Baltimore, who's 4-1. Wouldn't that be a good game? And Pittsburgh at 4-0. Now the Bengals, 1-3-1. This record, a little bit smoke and mirrors as well. The Bengals could have a way better record. Probably could be 3-2, 4-1 themselves. Had a ball go, a different direction. The record is not what it seems to be. Probably a two-loss Bengals team is probably more accurate. Could have beaten Philly. Could have won their first game of the year, if not for a push-off there in the end zone by their star wide receiver. So, this Bengals team is not bad. They're up and coming. They need to protect Joe Burrow. Buddy of mine, John Strasser, thanks for listening, by the way, John. Listens to my podcast, and he says, I love the love you're giving for Joe Burrow, but, they've got to give him some protection, or else he's not going to make it 3 years in this year league because he's going to get killed. He's going to have an injury. He's going to have to shut it down. Absolutely right. If you bring a guy in with that kind of talent and that kind of moxie and confidence, a quiet, humble confidence that this kid has. You've got to find a way to protect him, and you've got to find a way to keep him protected, or he'll be gone quick. The AFC East, the 4-1 Buffalo Bills, no surprise. Okay, they have a lot of people returning, you know, from last year. Add Stephon Diggs to give a weapon, a big-time weapon, to Josh Allen. And I was skeptical when he went in. I didn't know if he was going to be able to gel. Okay, but they're finding ways, and he's getting the ball, and that offense is looking good. And, you know, Josh Allen is still growing, and he's getting better, but he still has that cannon of an arm. If you watch that ball game, he's making throws, you know, off his back foot and just throws that he shouldn't have made, but his arm strength makes up for it. Now, I saw a couple passes where the guy was wide open he was throwing the ball to, so it really wasn't any danger of getting intercepted or anything, but some of the throws he makes with his off-balance throws, his arm strength makes up for it, and he's fun to watch, and he's becoming a very, very big weapon, you know, for the Bills in the AFC East. We're certainly not used to seeing the New England Patriots in second place in the division, but there they sit, 2-2. You know, they had a COVID scare. You know, Cam Newton had COVID, had to miss a game. Looks like he's going to be back now. He's going to be playing for them in their next game. So he's surprisingly better than I was expecting him to be, but also not too shocked at what I've seen from him so far. So far, he's easing him into the offense, and he's, you know, learning the system and doing what he can do, moving and running and stuff, you know, to make the team successful. The 2-3 Dolphins have come alive the past couple of weeks, and I said on my podcast last week that Ryan Fitzpatrick may only be an interception away from two a time. That you can wash that away, okay? Tua's having trouble learning the playbook, I was reading. And it also looks like Tua is still having a little bit of hip trouble. That he's still, you know, they're not trying to rush him in there. And why should they? Okay, Fitzpatrick is playing great. Okay, and they're playing with house money with Fitzpatrick. They know that. Because it's going to be Tua's job whenever he's ready. And, you know, they decide to move on from him. So it's house money with Fitzpatrick. And they went and they just stomped San Francisco. And they got a running back in Myles Gaskin, who is kind of taking the reins and taking the lead there. They got a couple of really good wide receivers for Fitzpatrick to throw the ball to. And he'll take off and run. The dude's 16 and still takes off and run. You know, this team at 2-3 is very dangerous because, you know, they get on a winning streak. And they're going to keep pace with the Patriots and maybe rival the Bills. All three of these teams could possibly make a run, you know, for the AFC East title. The New York Jets, talked a little bit at the top of the podcast, releasing Le'Veon Bell. Best thing for probably everybody. He wanted out, and, you know, he wanted to be gone, and Adam Gase is just a terrible coach. I'm not sure how he kept his job and Dan Quinn didn't. That still blows my mind at that. The Falcons could have a way better record if, you know, just a couple of things go a different direction for them, and they're above 500. The Jets just straight stink every week, so, and now they're down a quarterback, and Flacco's, you know, old, so, I mean, I don't see it getting any better. You got an old quarterback, you got an even older running back with Frank Gore, you got a couple of young guys out there, younger guys with Crowder, and it's Jeff Smith who's kind of taken off, but I see nothing that really, you know, gives me any kind of sign that the Jets are going to do anything but maybe land the overall number one draft pick this year. And, you know, you may have Trevor Lawrence being a Jet next year. Okay, we're going to move to the very tough AFC West division. Kansas City, reigning Super Bowl champs. No surprise, sitting in the top of the division at 4-1. Okay, Mahomes isn't having the kind of, you know, blow-up games he's had, but it's early. And, you know, I think maybe as we get a little bit further into the season, you know, he'll take off and he'll put up some really big numbers. But they're winning, and Andy Reid is a mastermind at coaching NFL football, and you know, you gotta love it for Andy Reid. Okay, he waited so long, and he was one of the great guys of the game. And you know, say what you want about Mahomes, you know, he's a good quarterback, and he's got all kinds of talent, and he's going to be around for a while because they paid him a dump truck full of cash. So, you know, expect this to continue on this way. Maybe a little bit of a surprise, but maybe not really. The Vegas Raiders. You know, I'm still trying to say that right. Still, sometimes it trips me up, but 3-2, playing really good football. Okay, leaning on Josh Jacobs. They've had a bevy of injuries, you know, across their wide receiving core, and they're still able to make it work. They got a healthy Henry Ruggs back. Now they got a bye week, you know, so he can get even healthier. But their wide receivers have been banged up. Their running game's looking good. Their offense looks okay. Carr's playing better than I was expecting him to play. And these guys are a really legit threat to make a run at the AFC West. If they can hang in there and get better as the season goes on, you know, they can definitely, you know, rival for the championship in the AFC West. Now, it could be a two-horse race in the next week or two, because if the Broncos and the Chargers keep falling and the Chiefs and the Raiders keep winning, you know, then it could be a two-horse race for the AFC West, you know, by the time we get down to the last quarter of the season. Denver 1-3 should be getting their quarterback, Drew Locke, back this week. But then I read today that Melvin Gordon was arrested on a DUI. Okay, as of this recording, 7:30, he's not facing suspension or being benched in the game. He got picked up for a DUI. Not sure what the legal ramifications are of that yet, but as of right now, he's still a go. But I'm not sure, you know, if that's going to stay that way or not. The Justin Herbert experiment has taken off for the Chargers. A couple of games they lost, you know, he's played great. A lot better than what most of us fantasy enthusiasts were going to assume he was going to do, you know, coming in as a rookie. He's looked very good, throws the ball all over the place, puts up a lot of yardage, and eventually that's going to pay off. You know, they're beat up at running back. The ones that they got there now, Kelly and Jackson, doesn't seem to be the answer. So, you know, now they're just kind of right in the ship and holding steady until they get Eckler back. And, you know, hopefully that works for them. And they're not so far out of it that they can't make a run. But, you know, a couple more losses, and they're, you know, like I said a minute ago, and if Vegas and KC keeps winning, you know, they're going to have a really good football team that's not going to be in contention because they're so far out. Last but not least, we got the AFC Dirty Dirty South. Okay, Tennessee comes in 4-0, fresh off their victory last night. Indy sets it 3-2. Houston Texans 1-4, to be expected. And Jacksonville 1-4, kind of to be expected as well. Okay, I didn't expect a 1-3 or 1-4 start for the Texans. They finally did get a win, you know, after they fired Bill O'Brien last week. So maybe that's a step in the right direction, and Deshaun Watson can keep moving and building some momentum and get moving and get the Texans, you know, back in the right direction. But, you know, they're already 2 games behind the Colts and then 3 games behind Tennessee in the division. So they got some work to do, you know, if they want to make a playoff run. If they want to challenge, you know, the division and for a playoff run to keep that going, you know, they've got some work to do. The Colts, 3-2, great defense. Okay, that is definitely, you know, the calling card for their team this year. You know, Darius Leonard nicked up with the groin injury. Looks like he may miss again. You know, but that defense is playing very well. Lights out across the board, and it's keeping their team afloat, because what we thought we may have seen from Rivers is kind of coming to pass. He's kind of, you know, on the back nine, and he may be on the last couple of holes, you know, of his career as well. He's just not what he was even supposed to be. Okay, he's definitely not what he was 2 or 3 years ago. I saw a report where he had – I didn't watch the game. I don't watch the Colts because I just can't. But read something somewhere where he had T.Y. Hilton wide open, and he threw the ball at his feet, and T.Y. had to go down to catch it. I'm not sure. I've tried to picture it in my mind, but to me it seems like he was open, and he either rushed the throw or whatever, but he just straight missed him, and T.Y. was wide open, but instead he hits him, you know, in the feet. And that's the kind of thing that seems to be happening there, you know, on a regular basis. I don't have a whole lot of knowledge because I don't watch this team. I don't really have any interest in it, but I do try to follow, you know, what they're doing, you know, just so I can report on them. But I got to love what I see from Tennessee. Okay, Ryan Tannehill is a very good quarterback in this system, and Derrick Henry starting to take off on his own. They got a healthy A.J. Brown. He had a really good game last night. Their defense is good. You know, it would be cool, and I know I'm going to catch some flack because I got a lot of Colt fans. I know a lot of people who root for the Colts, but I wouldn't mind seeing Tennessee making another run this year in the playoffs like they did last year, and maybe even getting, you know, to the AFC Championship and maybe fighting Buffalo for it. And that would be cool to see. And see one of those young teams coming up, you know, somebody new coming out of the AFC, you know, that would mean, you know, KC would have to lose. So it's probably a big ask, but it would be kind of neat just to see somebody different, a couple of teams you haven't seen there for a while. But we got a long way to go. A long way to go, but, I mean, Tennessee's looking good. And you look across the landscape of the NFL, and we got a lot of scoring. It's the most scoring in NFL history. Defenses are down. They're giving up more points. It's great for our fantasy weeks. Not so great for some head coaches because, you know, Matt Ryan, the first couple of weeks, was throwing for 400. It did us great as fantasy, but didn't do nothing for that franchise because they're still over, and they just, you know, showed their coach and their GM the door. So it's great for fantasy, but yikes. All right, that's it. That is my first ever Hitman State of the NFL. Hope you enjoyed that. Something different. I was going to report on matchups and stuff like that, but I didn't have time to put it all together with the Tuesday night game, trying to get switched back over to the new week. So something different. If you like that, let me know. Follow me on Twitter at HatefulHitman. You can find the show about everywhere now. It's all over the place. Podbean, Stitcher, Spotify, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Google Pod, Apple Pod. I'm everywhere. My name is Chris Strasbourg. Have a great evening. Good luck this week in your fantasy game. We got bye weeks this week, people. Okay, we got bye weeks. Pay attention. Have a great week. See you next time.